I've been preparing sermons for over 30 years. I've been preaching sermons as a minister of the United Reformed Church for some 29 years nearly. Now, that's a lot of sermons. I have to say that the longer I've been doing this, there is a sense in which I know less about it. When I was young, I, in all my arrogance, knew how to do it. I'd read the books, I'd been to sermon class, I knew what I was talking about. But now with well over 1,000 sermons filed away on my computer, don't tell the government data controller, please, I sense that I know less and less about preaching than once I thought I knew. Because why do some of my best sermons, best that is in my mind on a Thursday when I send off the order of service to be photocopied and over which I have poured hours and hours of sweat and study, why do they seem to fall flat and seem to be greeted by a collective congregational yawn? Maybe even more mysterious, why do some of my worst sermons, those sermons thrown together in a hurry, rewritten hastily on a Saturday evening, or yes, even on a Sunday morning after a ridiculously busy week, why are they the ones where you come out at the end of the service, grab my hand and say, "Thank you, Russell, thank you. You really spoke to me today." Well, here's what I think. Maybe I know less and less about preaching because I know more and more that preaching is not something really that I do. Preaching is what God does. And you thank me not because I spoke to you today, but because you heard God speak to you today. It's not a sermon until God's speaking makes it a sermon. And I think that because of today's gospel reading. And I think that reading isn't just about sermons and ministers. I think that reading is about every conversation one of God's people has with somebody else. Jesus, as we heard, told a parable about a gardener, surely the second lousiest gardener there ever was, myself being the lousiest, of course. This gardener began slinging seed with abandon. Most of the seed was wasted, victim of bad soil and terrible conditions, but wonder of wonders, some of the seed germinated, took root, and produced a fine harvest. And Jesus says that God's reign is just like that. A couple of months ago, Nicola and I suddenly realized that we had agreed to host a barbecue at the manse as part of the youth gathering next month. Oh dear, 50 plus people in the manse garden. That's going to be a bit embarrassing. We have been tackling the garden since, and at least now it begins to look, well, vaguely presentable. But in getting it to that state, I have begun to appreciate why we are very reluctant gardeners. It is because there is a bit of a control freak inside each of us. We both like to be in control. One of us more than the other. And if you know her, you know who I'm referring to as being the greater control freak. But of course, with gardening, you are never in control. So much of gardening, this much I know, depends on factors beyond my control. The weather, obviously. But also whether I'm around enough to water and weed and prune and mow and look after things properly. For me, the challenge of gardening is not being in control. And as a preacher, the challenge of preaching is to invest myself in a craft in which I, the preacher, am not in control. It's not God's word until God speaks and makes it God's word. God's word is a gift that only God can give. I've got a colleague who on sabbatical visited lots of churches and listened to lots of sermons. What did you learn about preaching during your sabbatical? Paused for a moment, then replied thoughtfully, I learned that when it comes to preaching, if anybody hears anything in a sermon, frankly, it's a miracle. It's like seed that's thrown at random on the ground. Some seed sprouts. Most of the seed does not. But that which sprouts is nothing less than miraculous. And of course, I suspect you already know this, because you sit there in your pew on a Sunday and your mind wanders, thinking of all the things that you've got to do once church is over. Maybe you're not in the best of mood, spiritually speaking. And yet, miracle of miracles, wonder of wonders, you do hear something. Something in the Bible reading, or a word or two in the sermon, or in a prayer, an anthem by the choir, or the words in a hymn. And they take root in your mind, and in your heart, and in your soul. And you hear your name called, and you rise, you soar, and you have an encounter with God. And it's a miracle. Jesus says it's like that with God's word. Sometimes it takes root in your heart. Sometimes it's all wasted. Sometimes God uses all this to reach out and seize your life. And sometimes God passes you by until maybe next week. It's a gift. It is a miracle. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, ignited a revival that swept across the world. A major aspect of that revival was Wesley's preaching. He preached sometimes in open fields, sometimes in little chapels, where the common folk of 18th century England heard him gladly. Early on in the movement, he published a book of his sermons that were transcribed by faithful followers and edited for publication. He insisted that his lay preachers read and imitate his sermons before they attempted to preach on their own. Yet actually, I challenge you to read Wesley's sermons today. And I suspect they will not lead to another evangelical revival. Read them. Language reads as stilted and dry. The sermons are very formal, devoid of illustrations or connections with everyday life. Of course, the problem is that they are not Wesley's sermons as they were actually preached. They're transcriptions for publication. And something was lost in translation from oral to written form. So what did Wesley have that made his sermons so powerful? The answer is nothing. Nothing Wesley had. It was not the man who made the message move people with such power, nor even the message itself. Wesley's sermons worked, they taught, they moved, they delighted because of God speaking in and through John Wesley. Every sermon is an act of faith. You listen. If you hear your name called, that comes as a gift. But again, I say it's not just about sermons, it's not just about preaching, it's not just about ministers. Because every conversation you have, particularly when you are brave enough to talk with family and friends about God and faith, that conversation too is an act of faith. And maybe the other person listens and they hear their name called, and that comes as a gift. And wonder of wonders, they have a moment of encounter with God through you. And it is a miracle. But as a minister, I love to watch God's word take root in your lives as you live into your faith in new and challenging ways. Ways that make me know that God has called your name and has used my poor sermon occasionally even to speak to you. These words, such small, tiny things, tiny seeds cast to the wind. But God can take them, use them, and bless them, and they become miraculously God's word. And through you, they become God's word for others, broken and given. Your bread, your life, your sustenance, your miraculous gift from God. So it's a miracle. But together, let's get seed sowing and then trust God to do the rest. Amen.